Welcome to the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week. I'm your host, Hank Sanders. Each week, we tackle a different issue that's uniquely Portland. So tune in every Saturday to hear a new episode complete with interviews and editorial that helps explain our city. From Portland's leading paper comes a brand new way to engage with the news, sports, arts, and culture. Stick around. Welcome back to the Dive Podcast. Today is April 10th. I'm your host, Hank Sanders. Guys, the weather's getting nice. I'm excited. I'm really excited. I like April anyways, but I got my vaccine. I got my first vaccine. Very excited about that. And also, we got a great show, and that always gets me excited. So this week, we talked to the author and main subject of this week's cover story. So that's Anthony Effinger, who wrote the story, and the main subject is Mark Frommeyer. And folks, if you'd like this episode, go to the Willamette Week website and get your tickets for the TechFest Northwest Conference that Willamette Week sponsors. It's the leading technology conference in Portland. And Mark is the keynote speaker. So if you find this conversation interesting, I promise you it's not me. It is Mark, his story, and what he has to say about the future of many things technology, but including travel and voting and a lot of really interesting things. So get your tickets there on the website. We got a lot to talk about today, and we'll get into it. Don't worry. But first, the local news, all the headlines you have to know from this week in 90 seconds. This is the 90-second News Flash. Well, folks, you know we had Michael Powell on the show a few weeks back, and his bookstore is in the news this week. They are rehiring, but union members are surprised to find out that those who were laid off from Powell's at the beginning of COVID, they will have to reapply, so they're not going to get grandfathered into their old positions. A federal lawsuit has been filed against Multnomah County Inverness Jail with 15 current or former inmates alleging negligence around the way COVID-19 was handled in the jail. Less than 0.02% of all Oregon's vaccines have been thrown out. Those are the COVID-19 vaccines specifically. And part of Elon Musk's SpaceX rocket was found by a farmer in eastern Oregon. The president of the United States has made it so everyone in Oregon can sign up for the COVID-19 vaccine in 2 weeks. So pretty exciting. We could actually have a real summer, hopefully. If you're planning on getting married, you will have to wait until July 1st before you can get a permit to marry on Oregon state beaches. And, you know, I think I can wait. This has been the 90 Second News Flash. Grateful for the little things I love. All right, folks, it's time to get into this week's episode. We are joined by Anthony Effinger and Mark Frommeyer today. Anthony is a freelance journalist who covered Mark in this week's cover story for Willamette Week. Mark is the founder and leader of Arcimoto, an electric vehicle manufacturer based out of Eugene, Oregon. This year, their stock soared, creating an valuation of over $1 billion for the company, which is massive anywhere, but especially in Oregon, it makes them one of the leaders in the field and one of the largest companies in our state. We talked to Mark and Anthony about the future of electric travel. We discuss Mark's other passion of voting reform, and we even break some news that might surprise you about Mark's long-term plans for the company. Here are excerpts of our discussion. Let's run it. Let's start with Anthony. How did you find out about Mark and his story, and why did it interest you?
Yeah, I got a call from Mark Zussman, who is the editor of Willamette Week, and he said, you know, there is a business story that might be the biggest business environment story in Oregon right now, and it's a company called Arcimoto. And I think I'd heard the name, but I did not know the depth of what was going on in Eugene at a factory there. And so I started looking around and learned that we have our very own electric car company here in Oregon that has been beavering away at this project since 2007. And so I called them up, and very soon afterward, I got to get on the phone with Mark, which was great, because we got to dive right in, and that's what got it going.
This article starts with the lead-in of Mark's relationship with Elon Musk. It's very, you know, it's a very intriguing lead-in. Mark, how did that relationship start?
Well, I think relationship is a a strong word. I mean, Elon and I have crossed paths a few times over the last, I don't know, 15 years or something like that. We have a friend in common, a guy named Adeo, and Adeo invited me on a camping trip. And this is years ago. This is like 10 years ago or something like that. And Elon, he and Elon were actually, I think, roommates in college. And so that was where first I got a chance to meet him and eventually started talking about, electric vehicles. Obviously, at that point, it was very early in the development of Arcimoto. He sort of said, well, best of luck.
Yeah.
Which was, yeah. I took that one comment better from him than probably from anyone else.
Yeah. Anthony, what surprised you the most about Mark or his team or his company during the course of the story?
I would say the thing that comes through when you, this is weird to talk about it with Mark on the call here, but the thing that comes across when you talk to people about Mark and you talk to Mark is there's nobody who maybe defines tenacious more so than Mark. He's been at this since 2007, come hell or high water, has run out of money several times, has crashed prototypes. And a lot of people, and I interviewed a couple of them, a lot of people gave up. Greenlight Motors tried to build a vehicle very similar to this, three wheels, electric. And I talked to him and he's like, you know what? It just takes such tenacity. It takes so much perseverance to raise the money it takes to do this.
Yeah. And if you didn't read the article and your ears perked up when he said three wheels, this car is no doors, three wheels. So for you, Mark, what purpose does this car serve for me as a consumer? Is this just a replacement for my car or is this something different?
It is actually a motorcycle. So three wheelers are motorcycles on the road.
Right.
By class, but it is intended to replace the car trip, right? So the way that we typically drive is by ourselves or with just one other person and a relatively small amount of stuff. And we use vehicles that are way oversized for those trips. So if you think about just all you gotta do is stand on a busy street corner watching the cars go by and you just see one person, two people, one person in 4,000 pounds of steel powered by typically internal combustion. And when you think about that, the sort of the multiplicative effect of everybody driving way oversized vehicles for the types of trips that they're doing, it explains why we have paved over half of our city, like basically half of the acreage of the average city, or just about, is covered with asphalt and concrete to move giant cars. And yet we're still stuck in traffic because we're driving these giant machines. So the idea of Arcimoto from the very beginning has been to just build the right tool for the job that we're already doing. And if in doing that, build something that is much, much more efficient with energy and with space and materials so that we could provide a truly affordable, sustainable mobility solution to the world. That's the why.
Yeah. And
we face a very present climate problem and disaster in the making. And that is driven in a significant part by emissions from how we transport ourselves.
Yeah. I think I'm like a lot of people in the reason why I don't get a motorcycle. And I think that's twofold. First of all, or like a smart car, smaller car. The first reason is because of safety concerns. My mom would have a heart attack if I was driving a vehicle like a motorcycle. But then also because once or twice a year, I do want to pack up with my, three friends and go to Seattle or go to, go on a quick road trip for the weekend or with my family. So what do you say to consumers like me who are thinking, well, yeah, it would be nice for 85% of my travel, but also I'm concerned about the other 15% and also the safety.
Yeah. So that's a few points to hit. My mom forbade me from birth from ever riding a two-wheeled motorcycle.
Right.
And yet she absolutely loves her Arcimoto. And she says that she feels safer driving the Arcimoto than she does driving a full-size car because she can see everything going on around her. It's a very stable platform. And she just drives accordingly, knowing that she's in a smaller vehicle. So when it comes to you know, being able to use other kinds of vehicles. If I read this study that said, I think I want to say it's that 30% of pickup truck owners use the bed of their pickups one time per year or fewer. So think about that. The most.
That's the reason you buy the car too.
Yeah. The idea of the car forever has been you get it so that it's the Swiss Army knife thing that does all of the things that you would need to do. But the reality is in the world we live in today, you know, you've got vehicle sharing services like Zipcar, Getaround, where you can share other people's vehicles, as well as traditional vehicle rentals. So if you're only using the capabilities of your SUV truly once or twice a year, it makes a lot more sense to rent one when you need it than to pay for the ongoing maintenance, depreciation, car payments, insurance for that full-size vehicle. And instead, the vehicle that you own or could own is one that does all of your everyday stuff that is much more efficient, much easier to park, a clean solution.
For you, Anthony, what was something that really stood out to you, not about Mark specifically, but about people in Mark's world talking about Arcimoto?
I'd say that what struck me is that the time might be now. When I talk to experts in mobility, micromobility, you know, and I did another story that's actually kind of related about electric skateboards for Willamette Week, which are amazing. And there's a lot you can do on an electric skateboard. You can go a lot of places. The time really might be ripe. I mean, people are really rethinking what's possible thanks to battery storage, thanks to technology, thanks to Tesla really showing the way. I mean, people laughed their asses off at Elon Musk for the first few years, right? People didn't think it was possible. And now it just feels like there's people are much more open to different solutions to transportation. And I don't know, maybe that's your generation, Hank. I'd ask you, like, how many of your friends get their licenses when they turn 16? How many of your friends buy big pickup trucks? I mean, my kids are about your age and they have no interest in, you know, we had to kind of push our son to get his license. He's like, I'll ride my bike or take the bus. I wonder if the culture is changing there.
To me, I'm not an entrepreneur, but when I see movies or depictions of entrepreneurs, everybody tells them no, but they have this nagging sense that yes, it's going to work. So what was it like putting in, you know, 20 hours a day into this thing? If you have a nagging sense that it's not going to work, how do you do that?
I went all in right at the beginning. So I sort of was like, you know, the winnings from the previous venture, my personal reputation, right, years of my life. So I was pot committed, as they say in the poker game. And as a result, I think not really quite intentionally, but I did it because on some level I knew that the venture was going to be so hard that if I left myself any escape routes that I would probably end up taking one. And so that was what by sort of closing all the escape hatches, that's what forced me to just grind it out.
Yeah.
And even though
I need that quote, we got to update the story with that quote. I was pot committed.
That's not a marijuana reference.
No, it's like a poker reference. Yes. And then you, and the escape hatches. I mean, that's incredible.
So let's go back to this. One thing that I, you know, you don't need to follow Elon Musk on Twitter for long until you can tell that he's a little bit different than other entrepreneurs. And you're painted the same way in this article. I mean, Tim Cook isn't playing the banjo on shareholder meetings. Jack Ma isn't doing that. Do you think that there's something unique to the electric vehicle industry that makes the owners of these companies like yourself a little bit extra eccentric and different?
I can't speak for anyone else. I think that, what I have certainly noticed about Elon is that he is incredibly mission driven. There are some changes that make where a venture is actually the right way or an effective way to make a social change. And then with Arcimoto, it's, you know, there was a purpose behind it that had to do with much more than just figuring out a cool widget to sell. and building a company. It was Arcimoto is about fixing transportation emissions and making a more sustainable future. And so I think that might explain some of the quirkiness of electric vehicle entrepreneurs, because I think that's a lot of people who get into the electric vehicle game do it for that reason, versus just I want to make a new kind of car or something like that.
To drive this, do you need a motorcycle permit, or can you do it with your Class C driver's license?
In Oregon, normal driver's license. And in fact, I think in like 21 states now or something like that, you can just use a normal car driver's license.
Anthony, what was it like writing a profile about somebody who has multiple interests and you know, you're not just focusing on one part of their life? And let's talk about voting. So what was that like, you know, finding out when he was like fascinated on other topics, when he could just be delving into one that's more than a full-time job?
When I learned that Mark was really into voting, I went and learned a lot about voting. And I found out just how screwed up our system is. That is a field that is so ripe for disruption. Wouldn't you say, Mark? I mean, it could be disrupted the same way transportation could be disrupted.
Well, and it's just sort of as I began to trace all of the what I see are the major problems with our political system. It's like all roads lead back to the vote. The serious dysfunction that we see in politics, the incredible partisan divide. The overwhelming influence of money in politics, you can trace each of those things back to this archaic way of making our choice. We used the dumbest, least representative choice system for selecting our representatives, which is that in every election, we only get to choose one on the ballot, no matter how many candidates there are.
One thing that got my attention in a fun way in this article was the names that you had for the robotic tools that were in your factory. Can you walk me through some of those names and how they got their names?
Domo and Arigato are the two welding robots that do the frame. We've got I'm blanking on the names of our
Barry White.
Oh, Barry White, yes, and Kenny G, our milling machines, and you know, just we hang out with these beasts day in day out. So give them a little personalities.
Yeah, you give them like a baseball cap and some googly eyes too. Are you going that far? Or is it just naming right now?
Not yet, but I'll run that one up the flagpole.
Yeah, sounds good. What's something that got cut out of the article for space or time or didn't make it?
So the thing that got us, that I think that got Mark Zussman thinking about this story was the, you know, Arcimoto's stock ran up huge in February, right? And the company had about a $1.3 billion market cap.
Wow.
Which is, that's giant, right?
Right.
And it was like, wait, what's going on here? Now it's come back a little bit along with a lot of the other stocks in the market. I mean, that was the February was wild. But anyway, and you know, and Mark owns a big stake in the company, and Mark can update us on this, but I, you know, here's a guy who has a huge stake in a billion-dollar company, and he still has two roommates living in his basement, and by all accounts doesn't seem to care much about like fancy dog houses like some of the other people I've written about, and also plans to give all the proceeds from Arcimoto in his holdings in Arcimoto to a foundation and to solve.
Did that make it into the article?
I'm afraid. I thought about this last night at 2 a.m. I think it got cut.
So all of your proceeds are going to a foundation.
Yeah, I've pledged all of my stock in Arcimoto to what is going to be called the From Here Foundation.
You get a name.
Yeah, it's a slurry way of saying my last name, but it's also what we're all about.
So
that's good. What is that? I'm sorry, Hank. Now I'm jumping in. Sorry, you really fixated on this too, and I was sort of like, oh Jesus, how'd this end up coming out? What's from here? That means like move forward.
Well, it's really just that we've got a lot of problems here that need to be addressed, and so the purpose of the foundation is going to be, it'll be pretty broad, from addressing climate and the environment, to social equity.
I have so many questions about this because from the little knowledge that I have about business, which is very, very, very little, but even if, even God forbid, even, you know, when you step down or something happens and to you, like those shares are still valuable for the company. Like would this nonprofit own part of Arcimoto and thus like have voting rights in the, in decisions, or how does that work?
Well, it's going to, you know, they're basically bequeathed. So the, and this is kind of just the structure of it will be, it'll be structured as an LLC and a nonprofit. And then the LLC, which will actually get the shares, will be bequeathed to the nonprofit. So they won't actually, you know, there's, we don't want to upset the structure of the company in the market and all that kind of stuff, but still be able to leverage that equity in order to start doing good things.
Those are the questions that I had. Is there anything that, that I should ask that, that I missed or anything else you want to talk about before we hop off?
Well, I just, thanks for having me on the program. And Anthony, I appreciate you doing the very deep dive. I've been blown away by the people who have reached out to me saying that you have talked to them.
Yeah. And let me ask about that. Like you really called his family, his friends, like,
well, hold on. I didn't call his family.
You didn't call
his family. I left his family alone.
Okay. My fault. So let me rephrase that so I don't look like an idiot. My bad.
No, you're fine. I'm just kidding you. It's not so much friends as people who've worked with Mark, like people who worked on voting, people who are investors. And then beyond that, you're just trying to flesh out the story. You're just trying to make the narrative. And Mark Zussman pushes his reporters to do a lot of reporting. I mean, look at the stuff by Nigel Jaquist. There's probably no more in-depth reporting anywhere in America than what that guy does. I mean, you think I did reporting?
The dude's obsessed. Journalists are hanging out at the Willamette Week.
Yeah. And their podcast is just incredible.
Their podcast is amazing. Who is that guy?
I know, man. I know. On those days when I'm really alone, realize the voice I miss is my own. When did I forget how to hold my own head? Still can't. Well, folks, that's our episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. Come back next week if you are a stoner or interested in marijuana or not interested in marijuana. We'll learn about it together because next week we have our 420 issue, a little weed reference there. And that's something I know nothing about. So, you know, we'll learn together and it'll be a good episode. But until then, guys, remember to get your tickets to TechFest Northwest. If you like this discussion or like technology, that's the place to be in Portland, really. You got to go to that event. So get your tickets online. Mark Frommeyer will be the keynote speaker at that event, so it'll be a lot of fun. I'm going. You got to get your tickets. Come on, guys. Anyways, until then, next week we've got some announcements, some new podcasts, some tip lines that you can contact to get on the podcast and talk to us about anything Portland. But until then, for Willamette Week, I'm Hank Sanders. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode, and stay safe, have fun, get tested, get vaxxed. We'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week. For more information on this podcast or the biggest stories in Portland, go to wweek.com and follow Willamette Week on all socials. We're doing some really cool things related to the podcast on our Instagram and Twitter. It includes giveaways, behind the scenes, etc. A lot of cool things coming your way, so give those a follow. Special thanks to our guests for joining us, and thank you to Aaron Mesh, Mark Zussman, and Brian Panganibon, as well as the entire Willamette Week family. Last but not least, thank you so much to Heather Witte and AmpMusic.co for the music that you hear on this podcast. For Willamette Week, I'm Hank Sanders. This has been the Dive Podcast.